Welcome to the Gift of Giving Life podcast. I'm Sheridan, and I'm the host. I'm also one of the authors of The Gift of Giving Life. I'm so excited to be able to share some insights into the spirituality of conception, pregnancy, birth, and beyond with you today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. I am so excited to welcome Jane to our podcast today. She reached out to me because she has had some unique experiences with her pregnancy and also has a book and a workbook that I think will be super helpful for some of you that are listening. So I'm super excited to have you here today, Jane. Will you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you so much for having me on. So I am a stay-at-home mother of four plus an angel baby. I have a bachelor's degree in communication with an emphasis on marriage and family communication. And like you said, I am a four-time survivor of hyperemesis gravidis, which is a pregnancy disorder, and the author and illustrator of When Mommies Get Sick, which is a children's guide about what to expect and how to help when mothers get sick. I've also published a workbook or journal called Hyperemesis Gravidarum, my HD journal, and I helped publish Watching Over Angels, which is a treasury of experiences about the creation of and many families' participation in the Angel Watch Perinatal Hospice Program. So I love to dabble in publishing and writing and illustrating, and that's what I've got so far.
Great. I love that. And as an author myself, I know that's a lot of work. So good job.
Good job. Thank you.
So I'm curious if you want to share how you heard about The Gift of Giving Life, either the book or the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually stumbled upon the podcast when I just did a Google search of maternal health podcasts, because I love learning about maternal health and maternal mental health. And your podcast popped up on the list. And as I started listening to it, I thought, this is a great fit. I love you. You've got a great voice. And I love that they're digestible, small podcast episodes. And I love hearing so many positive aspects of pregnancy and birth.
Yeah, great. Thank you. I love that you reached out to me because I love having people come on and share their experiences. And I think your experience is going to be especially meaningful because, as we know, pregnancy does not always go how we imagine it. It's not always like the fairy tale image of how we think it's going to be. And just being able to handle that can be challenging sometimes. So I would just like, if you want to just jump into sharing your experience and what you've learned from it.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, I always wanted to be a mom. All growing up, whenever anybody asked me what I wanted to do with my life, I said, I want to be a mom and have, when I was 5 years old, I said, I want to have 20 babies. And I was so excited for that season of my life. And so fast forward to when I got married and we started trying to have children, it was very, very shocking to me that when I got pregnant, we were both so excited. I'd been wanting this my whole life, and it was not what I expected. So hyperemesis gravidarum is a pregnancy disorder that is characterized, in a nutshell, by severe nausea and vomiting all throughout pregnancy. So it's not morning sickness, but a lot of people mistake it for morning sickness. So when I say severe nausea and vomiting, there's a range of mild, moderate, and severe cases. And so in my first pregnancy, I had a moderate case where I was throwing up 8 to 12 times a day, and I had unrelenting nausea. And there are a lot of other side effects that come with that. The pain of throwing up so many times that you're throwing up blood because your throat is so raw, and the pain of starvation, and the discomfort and worry that comes along with that. And there are lots of other grosser side effects, like hypersalivation. When you get the mouth sweats, when you're about to throw up, it's that 100% of the time. And anyway, when I began this pregnancy and I began experiencing all these symptoms, I reached out to my doctor and said, I am so sick. I am so sick. I'm throwing up all day and all night long, and I am sick all the time. And I kept repeatedly being told, oh, that's normal. Oh, it's to be expected to have a little nausea and vomiting. You'll be okay. And dismissed over and over again by my healthcare provider. And it took until the fourth pregnancy to finally find a healthcare provider that took me seriously and said, oh, honey, you are not making this up. And you have this thing called hyperemesis gravidarum. And I sobbed. To finally be taken seriously and to be told this wasn't in my head was huge for me.
Wait, I just have to stop you. It took until your fourth pregnancy for a doctor to acknowledge what was really going on.
Yeah, actually, technically, it was my fifth pregnancy. It was my rainbow pregnancy.
Okay, got it. After your, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it really is. That, in some ways, not surprising, but also super sad.
So sad. And that's another one of the reasons why I reached out, is because this is so underdiagnosed. And you experience such a high level of suffering for so long. And to be told that it's in your head, or you're making it up, you're being overdramatic, all of these different things, and to be dismissed by the people who are supposed to be part of your care team was devastating, to put it frankly. Like, it was so hard. So I was hoping to come on here and be a voice for women who are going through this, and just to let them know you're not making this up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's wonderful. I had an experience with my third pregnancy where I got it's called PUPS. It's a pregnancy rash. And I remember I called my doctor, and they're like, oh yeah, no, it's fine. And then I finally went in and they saw my stomach and they're like, whoa, this is not okay. But I had a visual thing they could see. And so I can see with what you were suffering with, unless you like videotaped yourself throwing up all day long, it's not maybe as obvious, but still, it's always demeaning when your care providers aren't listening to what you're saying. So I'm really glad that you are sharing your story, so that if anyone else is suffering with this situation, they can know how to speak up and have reassurance that it's not in their head.
Absolutely. And I think that was something that I really struggled with, was learning to speak up for myself. And this is probably why it took so long for me to finally find somebody who could help me. And what I did differently this time around was I started taking meticulous notes on what I was experiencing. I was writing down what time of day I was throwing up and how many times, and was I vomiting blood, and what I hadn't eaten, and how long I would go between being able to keep anything down, which, by the way, was between 24 and 72 hours I'd go without any food or drink. And it's really scary, because you're trying to support another life, and not only another life, but your own life. And you start worrying, am I going to make it through this? And so having all those notes and being able to give evidence and say, like, I am advocating for myself, I need you to listen, here's X, Y, and Z, can you please help me, made a huge difference.
That's awesome. I would love to hear how this experience helped you to have even maybe divine or spiritual experiences in your pregnancy, or was it just so miserable you had none?
Well, to be honest, I had so many experiences that still just take my breath away. I mean, when you're at such a level of suffering for so long, and regardless of whether people have this or not, I really believe that everybody's going to experience seasons of suffering at some time or another. And when you hit that place of rock bottom, I found it didn't have to be a dark place if I was looking upward and like reaching out to heaven and saying, what does this experience have to offer me? What is here for me to learn? And those prayers were answered so many times and in so many unique ways. It was really amazing. There was one time in particular, I kept trying to take it as easy as I could because I was just so sick. But I really tried to make an effort to go to church every week, which I really wasn't able to do very often. But one week I did make it, and I was sitting in the foyer and I was back and forth from the bathroom. I just wanted to try to take the sacrament. And after my fourth trip to the bathroom and back, I was just collapsed in this chair in the foyer. And a gentleman from the ward, he walked by and saw me, and I was trying to hold it together, trying not to just sob. And he knelt down by me and put his hand on my knee and looked me in the eyes and said, do you understand the principle of consecration? And his question took me by surprise, and I didn't really understand what he was trying to say, but I just stammered out, yeah, I know the covenants that we make and a little bit about consecration. And he's, you need to study consecration and sanctification. And that's all he said. And he left. And so I did. I started to study, how can I consecrate this experience to the Lord? And like handing over what I was experiencing to him was so powerful and gave me so much strength that I don't think I otherwise could have found within myself. And also with that is the principle of submission and really looking at the experience in the eyes and consciously saying, okay, I submit to this. This is being handed to me and I accept it. It wasn't just rolling over and being like, okay, life, throw what you have at me. It was like a very intentional grabbing the experience by the horns and saying, okay, I have this. This is not going away and I accept it and I will go through it for you, Heavenly Father, and for Jesus Christ. Like I don't know how else to put it. It was so powerful to me and just gave me peace as I was continuing to suffer throughout the rest of my pregnancy.
Wow. First off, I want to say that I don't know if I would have taken that well if some person came and told me that. I maybe would have been like, whatever, like, why are you talking to me? But I love that you were humble. I mean, I can tell he was doing it out of love. Like, I imagine you must have felt that. And that helped you to be able to make it through this experience or these experiences with that point of view, which then gave you courage and strength. And I'm curious how it was that you even had the courage and strength to have more babies after you had pregnancies like this.
That is still a mystery to me. So when we started out with our marriage, my husband and I, we wanted to have between 4 and 6 children. That was just the goal. But the main goal was I just wanted to keep having children until I stopped feeling like somebody was missing all the time. And I know listening to some of your other episodes that other mothers have talked about this, where just that feeling of somebody's missing. And so after the first one, it was so shocking to me. I suffered so much in that pregnancy. But the second my son was born and I looked into his eyes, I looked at my husband and I said, we got to do that again. We have got to have more babies. And it was like this immediate amnesia. But it was also just that depth of love of, oh, I love this child so much. That was so worth it. And that's not the case for everybody. And that doesn't mean that they don't love their children deeply. But I needed that in order to have more children. And I know it was the right path for our family to have more children. And I don't think I could have done it again without that immediate overwhelming feeling of, okay, we're doing this again. Let's go. And so a couple years later, we had another one. And all along the way, people had kept saying, oh, your first pregnancy was a fluke. You'll be fine in the other ones. What are the chances of it happening again? So I thought, great. The first one was bad. They're going to get better and better from here now that my body knows what to do. We got pregnant with the second one and I was really sick again. And I would run to the bathroom and my toddler would chase behind me and just hang on to my legs while I vomited into the toilet. And he would mimic me going bleh in the toilet. And it was so adorable and so awful. But we got through it. He napped religiously. He had a morning and an afternoon nap for a couple hours. And that's when I was able to get the rest that I needed. And anyway, that pregnancy did end up being less severe. And I don't know why, but I was throwing up multiple times a day up until 24 weeks. And then from 24 weeks onward, I would throw up a couple times a week. So I had the constant nausea, but not the constant vomiting, which was fantastic. And so after she was born, I thought, okay, if it's going to get better and better, I can do that. So then we got pregnant with number 3, and that one was horrendous. I was just on and off IV fluids and couldn't get out of bed. And I had 2 toddlers to care for and it was horrible. Yeah. After that third one, I was a little traumatized. I was just a little out of sorts after that one. And it took a long time to wrap my head around potentially doing it again. But I still had that feeling of somebody's missing. And I had experiences in between pregnancies, between the third and fourth, where I just felt like I knew this next child. And she was so excited to come to our family. So it took a lot of therapy and everything to get to a mental space to where I could just do it one more time. And that, unfortunately, that pregnancy was great, but it didn't last. And so after we lost that one, again, it took a long time to wrap my head around trying again. And fast forward today, we finally have our fourth, but my fourth pregnancy was off the charts horrendous. There were so many times in that pregnancy where I wasn't sure I was going to make it. And I am so glad that we did it. And I honestly could not have survived that without divine help and divine guidance to find little pockets of comfort in experiences like that guy coming and talking to me about consecration, and then people randomly showing up at my house with food. And we had just such an outpouring of love that kept us going for the entire 9 months. During that pregnancy, it was so severe that I lost 10% of my body weight in 3 weeks. And like I said, I was going 24 to 72 hours without any kind of food or water. And so I was living on IV fluids. And then eventually this new doctor, she was able to sign me up for home health. And so then I had daily IVs. And so I would have IV fluids once to twice a day with multivitamins to keep us going. And I was on that for 2 months and then was able to survive with the daily vomiting after that. But I was able to keep more down. And just looking back on the whole journey, I can't believe how much a human being can endure and just how much strength and support is available to us if we will continually look heavenward. And then also look to other people, listening to people's stories about having hyperemesis. I joined a bunch of Facebook support groups that dealt with hyperemesis. And so hearing their stories and everything gave me strength. Sorry, that was a really long answer to your question.
No. But there you go. It was great. So I'm curious, when you wrote the books, it looks like you have two books, the children's book and then the journal. So can you tell me about them and like where in your journey did you create those?
So it was July of last year. I was in my bed, unable to move. I was so sick, Sheridan, that I could not watch TV. I could not listen to podcasts. I could not listen to audiobooks without vomiting. There was something about any outside stimulation that just aggravated the vomiting. And so I would literally just spend day and night lying in my bed trying to survive. And I tried to be proactive about just focusing my mind on something positive and trying to think of things because I was just trapped in my own mind for so long. And then one day I was just watching other people taking care of my kids and just pondering on what does it mean to be a mother right now? Who am I and what do I have to offer to my children in this state? How are we connecting and how are we surviving as a family in this position? And all of a sudden this little poem came into my head and that evolved into When Mommies Get Sick, which is my children's book. And so at first it was just a little poem that I formulated in my mind. And then I started to daydream about if I were to ever illustrate this, what would that look like? And if I were to ever publish this, how would I go about that? And it became so sanity saving for me because like I could do nothing else, but like to have something that I could think about and ponder on and create in my mind was so helpful. And then eventually, as I was able to start sitting up, I still couldn't go chase after my kids, but I could sit up and I could hold a paintbrush and I began to paint the illustrations because I thought, what else can I do? What else do I have to lose? Then by the end of the pregnancy, I had all of the illustrations done. And shortly after our daughter was born, I was able to self-publish that through Amazon. And now we have the book. And then the journal came a little bit later, the Hyperemesis Gravidarum HD Journal Workbook. That came about a couple months later because I had found so much resilience in writing. And writing is cheap therapy. And being able to take what's going on in your mind and put it on paper where nobody can tell you you're crazy and nobody can tell you that you're making it up and nobody can tell you like, oh, just go eat ginger. That was very therapeutic to me. And I wanted to find a way to offer that to other women that might be going through this. And so I created this journal that affirmations that I used to tell myself and also affirmations from the online community. I asked the women in my support groups, I said, what are some of the affirmations that you repeat to yourself during the worst times? And so I put those in the book and also put prompt questions in there of what does your life look like right now? And what's the most annoying bit of advice you've gotten over and over again? Or like, what's the most helpful bit of advice? Just little writing prompts to help other people tell their stories. Because I really believe that when we find ways to tell our stories, then we find meaning in the suffering that we're experiencing. And then when we find meaning, we can find resilience. And so that's been available for about a month.
There's a few things that really stand out in what you've shared. And one is about how people ministered to you, not only through helping you with your children, but even like that gentleman who did, he was brave enough to say that to you. And then that helped change you and give you a different perspective that you needed. And then how you took this challenging experience, and while you were not able to do anything but lay in your bed, you created something powerful that then can help other families in this situation. And you took something challenging and made a gift out of it. And that's really beautiful that you were able to do that.
Thank you.
Well, I always like to end with this question, and I'm curious what you're going to say, but if you could give advice to a young woman just starting out her mothering journey, what would it be?
I think some of the best advice that I ever got, and I've been able to apply it on such a wide variety of situations, is something that Patricia Holland said. So she said, have the courage to be imperfect. And I know when you're starting out in your motherhood journey, like the stakes just feel so high, and they are, and the love that you feel for your children is so deep, and the future is so unknown. Like it can just weigh so heavily on you. But if you can have the courage to be, then it just relieves so much of that mental and emotional burden. And if just accept that you're imperfect and allow Jesus Christ to shoulder the burden and the responsibility of perfection, that will free up so much space to just be you. And that's all that God is asking of you, is to be you, because you are the right mother for the children that you are given. And what you have to offer is enough. And just because it's hard and just because it's messy does not mean that you're doing it wrong. Just because you're imperfect and just because you may be stuck in bed for months on end, like you're not doing it wrong because it's hard, and you're not doing it wrong because it's messy. And I would just say, the more you can hold on to that thought, the more you'll have the freedom to, like I said, be yourself and give the best that you have to give. And that will always be enough.
Nice. I like that. I like that so much. I would love you to share how our listeners can connect with you, where they can find your books and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we can connect on my blog, which is life-onpurpose.com. And I have a lot of writings on there about hyperemesis and also about mothering. And I have a contact form there if anybody wants to contact me directly. I also have an Instagram, which is mommingonpurpose. M-O-M-M-I-N-G on purpose. And you can find my books on Amazon. My name is Jane Ann Osborne. The children's book is When Mommies Get Sick. And the journal is My HG Journal. And both of those should pop up. And anybody who wants to look into the other book that I helped publish, that one is Watching Over Angels by Carolyn Casteller. My inbox is always open to anybody that wants to talk about parenting, motherhood, or hyperemesis. I just love to connect.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for reaching out to me and then being willing to be on the podcast.
Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks for joining us today. If you have an experience that you want to share about the spirituality of pregnancy or birth, please contact us. We love having guests on the podcast, or if you prefer to just write up your experience, we are happy to share it on our blog or on Instagram. And also, please share the podcast with your friends. This is how the word gets out that birth and pregnancy can be spiritual. The podcast and our book is one of the greatest ways to share that, as well as, of course, you sharing your experiences with your friends. Visit thegiftofgivinglife.com. Currently, our newsletter subscribers get free access to our online class, which is growing. And if you want more inspiration, of course, you can always buy The Gift of Giving Life on Amazon, either for yourself or it makes a great gift for any woman you know. Have a great week and know that you are loved.